Okay.
Who's got the first question?
Yeah, go.
Well, Phil, maybe you
Elizabeth,
can.
Elizabeth,
We're
or
alive.
Norma?
Yes, we're alive. Yeah, it's okay, Allison.
Norma?
No, no, you go ahead. You go ahead, Bill.
You want to answer?
No, you go with your question, and then I'll
okay.
have mine.
Are we on mic or ready to go?
Yeah.
Yep.
Live.
Okay. The question I had that is that when you take the scripture, Christ is in me, I'm in him, and he's in the Father, there's that mystical union. But I thought there's also, which we're aware of, that Christ is in each person in the body of Christ. So if they're in them, Christ is in them, and he's in me, then there should be really a union between me and each person within the body. And I really started to think about this. What that really means, I'm not quite certain. But when we go up into the other realm, into heaven, I thought it was kind of neat how, for example, when the four of us are moving around, we see each other at times moving around. So that has to be tied into that mystical union, I was thinking.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? That has to mean something. I just keep thinking really profound here on earth that Christ is in me, he's in you, so you and I are tied together, but I'm not really even aware of what that is, what that means. And
yeah.
That's probably really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you think about the context of being together and how we're supposed to be operating in unity and blessing and all those type of things, when we carry something in our hearts, it gives us access to that which we carry, to be able to see into those situations or people. If we're given them, let's say, you know, it's a person, you know, for our partners, wife, husband, if we carry them within our heart, then we should be sensitive to the things that are going on with them and able to pick up disturbances around their lives and in their lives. You know, if you're part of a bench of three and you carry each other in your hearts, then there should be this sensitivity to what's going on. Now, part of the problem is we have, in the body of Christ, basically been individuals and operated individually and not really seen the effect that our lives have on other people or other people's lives have on us, unless it's really right in our face. You know, unless someone does something that hurts us or they say something that causes us to react to it, then we see the potential for someone to affect our lives. But in reality, we know that the Bible says that if someone hurts, the whole body hurts. If someone's blessed, the whole body's blessed. But I think that the nature of that has very much been lost to individualism and our personal rights, and we're an individual. And I know that there's a sense where, yes, we are, but actually we're part of a body. And, you know, you're absolutely right. If I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, then anyone else in Christ has access to me. And I have access to them, both in a positive sense and in a negative sense, which should make me see the responsibility that I have for maintaining intimacy with God, myself, and holiness and that. Because, of course, the enemy gets access through sin. And I think there is a powerful dimension to understanding that and being aware of that, that I believe God wants to bring us into. And the more we begin to come together as an actual ecclesia, which is a gathering of people called together, that really is what will make the difference. If we use the word church, which is an Anglo-Saxon word that really doesn't mean what ecclesia means or kahal means in the Hebrew, then we have certain mindsets or ideas about church that says, you know, obviously it's a building, or it's the people who meet in a building, or you know, there are negative mindsets which you know, come back from a 1,000 years really of negativity about what church really is. So I think God is using Ecclesia in a sense to breathe fresh life into the relationships of the kingdom that are really what church is actually about. And I feel that we're on the edge of breaking into a fresh revelation of what that is and coming into a fresh understanding of what it is so that we can embrace the true full purpose of being called together, being called out, being gathered for the purposes of the kingdom, and see that, you know, our responsibility is to have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, and to be in discipleship with others so that we can be accountable to one another, in relationship with one another, supporting, encouraging. You know, there are so many one another's in Scripture. There are very few on your own's in Scripture. Particularly in the New Testament, there are many one another's that are loving one another, caring for one another, supporting one another. So many scriptures that talk about what it is to be together. And I think God wants to add just a totally different, fresh dimension to what that means, in the fact, as you were saying, that means that we have a spiritual connection with each other, and in Christ we can connect with each other and be aware of one another, and therefore have responsibility for each other. You know, now that's obviously not possible within a billion people across the world, but it is possible within those that God is calling us to be in that level of relationship with. And I do feel that there is deeper revelation that's being released and revealed to what that really means. And I think it'll be exciting, I think, to discover what it really means and to experience what it really means, because that will create a unity and a blessing and a strength and a power. You know, it's like in Nehemiah when they began to rebuild the walls. It's like they had a trowel in one hand and a sword in another, and they were able to call people to come together whenever there was an attack on the wall. There was a real sense that they were together in that purpose. And there were all the distractions that the enemy tried to do to try and distract them from their purpose came to nothing, because they were called together for that vision and that purpose. And I think that's really this, you know, I think your conference was about Ecclesia rising, and I think it's absolutely true that God is going to reestablish what the true meaning of that Ecclesia is, and how, not just in a physical location, but in the realm of the spirit, we can be connected and therefore be out working the fullness of what it really means to be one in that way. You know, I haven't got all the answers, and I think we're going to discover a lot in the coming season about what this really means. But it does mean a willingness to surrender individualism, and not that we aren't individuals, but there's a wrong sense of independence that I think has crept into the body of Christ, which keeps people separate from one another and isolated, and God wants to bring it all together. So I think we've got a lot to discover, I think. But it should be fun.
That answer your question? I just had something I was reading in my Bible, and I was kind of curious what it meant. Okay. Or your comments on it.
Yeah.
It's Matthew 8. It kind of starts at 11, where the centurion comes and asks Jesus to heal, what is it, a servant, and Jesus saw the faith in the guy. And it says, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So I presume that's God's kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is that last part talking about God's kingdom, or is it talking about the kingdom here on earth? I'm kind of puzzled on that.
You're also asking, I guess that also meant the kingdom. Didn't just say when we die that we'll be coming to eat at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
He just said many will be coming. So he didn't say when we move on to this next realm, you know, we're finished in the kingdom on earth. So yeah. Was he kind of, what are we just implying that because of what we're experiencing?
Yeah, any thoughts on that?
But the subjects, there could be many subjects. And so I mean, the subjects of the kingdom of earth, we're gonna, there's gonna be gnashing of teeth and that.
It's obviously an interesting question.
Matthew 8.
Yeah.
11.
Yeah, let me read it. Okay. Well, if you understand the kingdom of heaven, in the nature of Israel and what they understood the kingdom was going to be, obviously Jesus redefined it. Because he said, my kingdom is not of this world, so it's a spiritual kingdom to start with, but it has an effect to bring the government of God into this world, but not in a political sense that they were expecting. You see, when Jesus started talking about the kingdom, they had an expectation that David's kingdom, when, of course, they were top dogs, that was all going to get restored, and they were going to be back, you know, in the full favor on earth. But they missed out on the understanding of the kingdom in that they were supposed to be the light to the world, representing a nation that would demonstrate what it was to be in relationship with God and the favor of God and the blessing of God. And, of course, they shut everyone outside of that and protect it and fail to fulfill what they were called to do. And there is a sense, of course, that those that were being called to come from the east and the west and to come into that understanding of faith, Abraham being the father of faith, he was talking about the Gentiles. So it's like the Gentiles were going to come into covenant with God, which is the new covenant. And so they were going to be part of the kingdom. They were in a major transition period where everything was being reestablished and redefined. And that wasn't easy for them to come to terms with or understand. So when Jesus started talking about things like this, you know, it challenged their whole mindset, worldview, perception of what the kingdom was about, what their role in the kingdom was about. And when it talks about the sons of the kingdom, it's talking about those who should have been inheritors because of the covenant with Abraham, but actually weren't coming into the reality of what they had. So it wasn't just, oh, well, I am a Jew, therefore I have the right to the kingdom. It was those who were of faith, of Abraham's faith, that had access to the kingdom. And you look at that, and you can see that in Galatians 3:28 and different places. And so those that rejected God's kingdom rule, well, what would happen to them? They would realize that they'd missed out on the fullness of what they'd been offered in terms of access into God, in terms of relationship and everything else. And so there's a challenge in this. And I know Ian teaches that within the realm of the kingdom, in the realms of heaven, there is sort of like the inner court, outer court, and there's a place in the outer court that there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where people have failed to accept their destiny and their calling, and they may be saved, but just like fire, eyes of fire. So the judgment seat of Christ weighs up whether there's wood, hay, and stubble, and gold, silver, and precious stones, and that in our life. And those who have wood, hay, and stubble, and no gold, silver, and stones, it says they're saved just by fire. And I think the same would apply to people like the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. You know, are these people born again, saved people? Because if they are, the implication is, if you do not keep and maintain intimacy and relationship, when Jesus returns, they were cast out into outer darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that doesn't sound like hell, because hell sounds a pretty hot and fiery place. So there's a sense of understanding that I think, again, people struggle with. And, you know, it's those, again, there's a scripture that talks about those that prophesied in my name and did miracles in my name and did these things. And then it's like, well, I don't know you. Depart from me. I don't know you. Now, does that mean that those people weren't saved? Or does it mean that he didn't recognize them in their eternal destiny? Because what they were doing things that they wanted to do rather than the things that God had called them to do. And there's a sense where he was saying, well, I don't know you. I don't recognize the person that I created, the person that I called, the person that I destined. So some of these scriptures around about the kingdom and about these things are quite challenging to understand. And they're quite challenging to understand because we only see them from our current perspective and not the perspective in which those he was speaking to would understand it from. And so when I read that scripture, you know, I see that God was going to add to those of the faith of Abraham those who were at that point called Gentiles. And he was going to draw them in, and there were going to be many people who should have had access to the kingdom who were going to miss it because they didn't embrace the new way that God was going to do things. And so they would be realizing that they'd lost their inheritance and what they should have been able to inherit in the kingdom. You know, it's an interesting understanding of all that stuff. And I certainly know when I talked to Ian about it, his view was that not everybody in the realm of eternity will be doing the things that God actually assigned them to do, because they have not learnt and they have not embraced that now in training for what's coming. And therefore, not everyone will be the same. Now, I think you can probably take the same thing with the parable of the talents. You know, some will rule over 10 cities, some 5 cities, some will have different roles. And the person really who didn't really know and understand God, what happened to them? You know, they were given a call, but didn't respond to it correctly. And so there's lots of scriptures which I think all engage in the same sort of analogies that probably could do with some redefining from fresh revelation, because they can be quite confusing. But I don't know if that helps or not, but it's not an easy question. And yeah.
Norma, Elizabeth, we're finished with our questions. Do you have any?
I know the last time we were going to do some activations.
Yeah.
And we always ask so many questions. So I think if it's okay with you guys, we should just go into some activations. You know? Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. So what would be helpful in terms of activation for you? In terms of what is it that you would want to engage in? Where do you feel that you would benefit most from stepping into? You know, so I'm.
Well, the last time you told us that we would go to on the fiery stones, I think it was.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think how do you guys feel about that?
Okay, well that's fine. We can definitely do that.
Is that okay, guys? Okay. Okay. Is Bill running? Where is he?
Oh, he's here. We're just trying to quiet the dogs down. They've been really hyper the last 2 days.
Okay. Well, there's a bit of a sort of thing to engage in this that when you're looking to engage the Firestones and the Judgment Seat and things. Have we been to the Judgment Seat before, or is it just the Firestones?
I can't recall, so I'm not sure at all. I don't know if the others remember, but I can't recall ever going there. Maybe, I don't know. But it's no harm doing it again, because I can't remember it, though.
Okay.
Is that okay, guys?
That's okay. I think we went to that place where we looked, we went through fire, we went through the
scrolls and
the lion. So I'm not sure if that was not the judgment seat.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Okay. Well, that's fine. I think let's go there. I mean, I have had, you know, I've had several experiences there recently, and there's an openness to engage in things there, which is quite challenging, but it'll be good. So let's just do that. But I think we can go and get a mandate to go there, I think, first. That would be the best thing to do. So let's just close your eyes, and we just want to quieten ourselves before the presence of God, and let's just step into the realm of His presence. Jesus, we just ask that You would just take us on this journey. We just sense Your presence. We ask You just to take us through the veils. We just come before the presence around the ark. And just engage with Your name. Father, we just thank You for that Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. the revelation of your presence to us. As we come before the ark of your presence, we open our hearts for a mandate to engage with you. Just look into the lion and the ox and the eagle and the man. Father, we just thank you for the mandate to come on the firestones of your presence. We receive that mandate, and we just step into the realm of your kingdom, around the fire of your presence and the river of fire. And as we stand before the river of fire with your throne above, we come to step on the firestones of revelation, those stones that Satan looked into and was to radiate. We take that place in the place of revelation of the firestones and the revelation of your person, who you are. And as we see that first step, that first stone, just take a step onto it and become one with it and experience your love. At the essence of our being, every atom, every particle, every fiber, connecting with your love, being one with love. Revelation of your love. Expanding our experience and understanding of you and of your nature as we engage with the DNA of the Father and his love. And the revelation of the law of love. And how love manifests in the kingdom and is the foundation for kingdom life. Just let that revelation go deep into our being. Principles of the laws of your kingdom that come out of Zion and out of Jerusalem. Just that revelation entwine, be encoded within the light of our spirit. As we take a step on the next step, again becoming one with joy flowing through us, joy being filled to overflowing with the joy of the Lord, our strength. Let your strength just touch us, every part of us. Just deeper and deeper and deeper into you. Just let revelation on this firestone of your testimonies, the testimonies who you are. The testimonies that come from eternity, your creative, the thoughts that you have about us. Just let them imparted to our spirit. Bursting with life, the thoughts that you have for us as individuals and together, just impart them. Revelation, light. Thank you. So we just take another step. Just looking into the revelation, being joined with peace. Peace, resting. Spirit, soul, and body flowing in peace, that your peace would just fill us. We rest at the deepest level. With wholeness, shalom, just sense of well-being. Your Father's love and care and concern for us. So we cast all our burdens onto you. And just receive your peace. Receive your rest. Enter into it at a whole new level. Every conflict in our physical body, coming to a place of peace and rest. Our soul coming into wholeness. In peace, so our spirit, soul, and body come together in total unity. As revelation of the ways of God flows into our spirit, that we would know your ways, the ways of your kingdom. Revelation of the protocols for rulership and sonship. Just let them be encoded within our spirit. As the color and the frequency and the fragrances of love and joy and peace are around us, just let our very DNA come back into harmony and wholeness. Oneness with you. So we now just take another step onto the firestone of patience. And a revelation of the Son, of Jesus, of his perseverance, his passion, persistence in fulfilling his purpose. Just let the sound and the frequency flow around us, through us, and in us. Just inspiring us. The revelation of the very nature of the Son, what it is to be a Son. Let's embrace the color and the frequencies of the colors from each stone. As we engage the precepts of God, just let the precepts of God be encoded within our spirit. Revelation, as we receive it ready to be released into our lives, we would understand your precepts, that we would operate according to your precepts. Those precepts built into the fabric of creation, we would understand. Take a step onto the step of kindness. So we become one with kindness, embracing its meaning, experiencing your kindness to us. It's your kindness that's drawn us to you. The fragrance, as we breathe in, fragrance of kindness. Let there be revelation of your statutes. We look into the statutes of God, those things decreed that stand firm. Enshrined within heavenly understanding. Just let our spirit embrace these things. So we take a step onto goodness. The fullness of the sun, patience, kindness, goodness. So we receive goodness, so we are one with goodness, as goodness just flows through us. So we recognize how good you are, that you gave yourself for us. The depth of your love, your goodness, just the value of who you are. We also receive our value, how you see us and how we feel in you. Special, chosen, unique. As we stand on this firestone, as we absorb these attributes, the revelation of your commandments, the authority and power to rule, just let them flow into our spirit, bringing light and revelation. Fullness of sonship. We take another step, to engage with the spirit, faithfulness, to become one with faithfulness, your faithfulness. We trust in you. Revelation of how Father, Son, and Spirit trust intimacy. As we're imparted with an understanding of faithfulness. We can receive revelation of your judgments, of how judgment and justice and the authority in the realms of heaven is administered. Impart it to our spirit. Deeper revelation. Judgment and justice and holiness. So we take a step onto that firestone of gentleness. Gentle and humble in heart, that the revelation of true gentleness, strength, totally surrendered, that we totally surrender again to you, so we can take your yoke upon us and learn from you, because you are gentle and humble in heart, totally surrendered to the Father's will, totally being a channel for the Father's work, completely one with the Father's heart. And as we embrace that gentleness and humility, revelation of the strength we have, the ordinances of God at our disposal to be able to administer the kingdom, that revelation of those ancient ways, those ordinances, the angels in the angelic realm, our spirit just receive revelation deeper and deeper of the ordinances of God. And as we take that next step into the firestone of self-control, as the Holy Spirit brings the fullness of faithfulness, gentleness, as we surrender ourselves again, ourself totally in control of the Spirit, we become one Spirit, joined to the Lord, one with Him, united. Abandoned to Him. The 9 strands of God's DNA, the 9 revelations of the Father, Son, and the Spirit and receive that fullness and the very wonders of God. Just let us see your wonders, feel your wonders, see the wonders beyond human understanding, but join to you. Let the wonders of God be imparted that would call us deeper and deeper into you and our destiny. Show us, reveal it, the very fragrance and frequency and vibration within our very spirit and DNA. And we bring ourselves before your throne. And as these stones have been imparted to our crown upon our head, we cast our crown before you. So we lie before you in obeisance, recognizing the authority of your throne. Now, as sons, as you call us to stand, to take our throne, as we walk off to the left to find our throne. As we find our throne, we know it's that place where we're seated with you in the heavenly. We take our place on your right hand, our throne next to yours, as we reach up with our left hand and take your hand, join to you in authority and power to administer your kingdom. Crowned sons, we receive that authority, a fuller revelation of our authority as sons, seated with you in the heavenly places, joined to you, a flow of the revelation of the authority of the kingdom flowing through us and through us. Seated at rest. Our destiny before us. As we're there, I feel God wants us to step into his heart, where his thoughts were conceived for us, that we would come back home into the very heart of God. Coming into the fire of his heart, one, our thoughts and his thoughts coming together. That's some of the thoughts he has for us. So we're one with them, one with our eternal destiny, one, oneness, wholeness in him, in his very heart. Feel the beating of his heart. Feel the desires of his heart. Just let the revelation of the authority that you've been given, as you come together in the eternal purposes of God for the ecclesia of the burning ones, the revelation of that name, of that identity, of the calling, of the purposes of God, the authority he endues you with, he invests you with the authority to administer his kingdom. Now, as you again just take your seats together, just see how being on your throne relates to your mountain throne. You can administer from that place of deeper revelation of the laws of God, the testimonies of God, the ways of God, the precepts of God, the statutes and commandments and judgments and ordinances and the wonders of God, that they expand the limits of your mind to embrace that destiny. As I'm watching, I can see the Father come before you as you're together, seated with authority on these thrones. He seals you with the seal of unity, with the heart of unity, with a deeper expression of unity. As he releases to you a higher dimension of authority to legislate in the kingdom, you're crowned in kingship. He opens access to you. To the court of councils of the fathers. And he invites you to step into that court where he is seated with the 12 elders on his left and the 12 elders on his right. And he calls you to stand before him as Father. And he releases it to you. Access to the 12 laws of Zion and the 12 laws of Jerusalem and the administration as fathers in the kingdom. Now, as we just prepare to step back through the veils, our spirit has received revelation, our DNA has been encoded with truth, that our souls and bodies will come into alignment with we just step back now into this realm. Okay. In an encounter like that, there's so much that gets imparted that your mind won't have caught up with yet, and I would encourage you to go back and meditate around that. The fullness of the revelation of those things. Each time I go onto those stones, something different gets imparted, and I'm like, whoa, whoa. But when Satan stood on those stones, it was to radiate out and reflect out the glory of God. And those stones contain color and fragrance and frequency that represents so much more than the words can represent. It's that our words are so limited, and yet there's something our spirit engages with on those stones that's just at a different dimension of revelation and receiving things from God. So, David, you want to share anything of that briefly? Feel free.
Go ahead, guys, if you want to share. No, Bill, Deb, Norma.
Wow, it's incredible.
There's just fire. The fire in between the stones. It's almost like a river.
Can you hear him?
Yeah.
And it was just the frequency. First of all, it was like I could kept stepping from stone to stone, and there was fire, but there was also such frequency as you were going through it, just resonating, and I don't even understand what was going on really, but it was like, wow. Mm-hmm. And even when we got to the throne and then we went into the Father, it was like, I don't know, I was just going through eternity in Him. I was just, wow. Mm-hmm. I don't even, it was just, it's almost like you were saying, you have to go back, and I don't even understand what happened.
No, it's a bit like that. It is a fairly overwhelming place, really, and you know, there's so much there, but it's a good place to be.
I was, at some point I felt so huge, and I'm thinking, why am I so huge? And then I realized that the Father is so huge.
Yeah.
So huge.
Yeah, that's right.
When we were,
going
to his heart, I felt almost like a like an acceleration, like a speed, like zooming stars or light or You want to unmute? Unmute. You can unmute, so I could, I was just saying I felt like a zoom in, stars or light or something zooming past that, like, I don't know if you call it eternity, galaxies, I don't know what it is, but it seems as though it was zooming past, Starry Night or something. Yeah, it seems to be a lot of stuff. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, yeah.
Yeah, this
same thing. Going through, like, when we went in the fog, it was like eternity, stars.
Yeah.
It was almost like light, and I didn't know if it was glory or what. I didn't know what I was experiencing.
And yeah. It seems like a pretty, it seems like an extremely, extremely deep place. An extremely deep place to be.
Stones were deep too. They went from stone to stone. The residence, I don't know what it was. It was just because it was spiritual. I guess it's like trying to put a grid around it for your understanding in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have any grid for it.
Yeah,
that's
think
where I felt huge. That on the stones, I felt huge, like endless, almost. Not endless, but I felt very huge on the stones, just huge light.